We all know that temptation in business, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, fine-tune each little part, polish every cog, assuming that if every bit is working perfectly, the whole machine, well, it's just got to succeed.
Right. It seems logical.
But what if focusing so hard on those individual bits is actually setting us up to fail overall?
That's exactly what we're digging into today. It's surprising, really, how optimizing talent acquisition in like separate silos can seriously backfire.
Yeah.
And we found this really interesting parallel from, well, maybe an unexpected place, the car industry. It holds some big lessons for how we think about hiring.
Absolutely. So we're looking at this untitled document today, and it uses a really fascinating story from history. The joint venture between GM and Toyota at their plant in Fremont, California. It sheds a lot of light on the pitfalls, you know, and how lots of companies handle their talent strategy.
It really does. And for you listening, our mission here, our sort of goal for this deep dive is to figure out how focusing too much on individual HR numbers.
The KPIs, right?
Yeah, exactly. The KPIs, cost per hire, onboarding completion rates, that kind of stuff. How tracking those might actually be hiding bigger problems.
Problems that stop you from building a workforce that's, well, effective and stays.
Yeah. We want to see what a more connected, you know, holistic way of looking at talent acquisition actually looks like in practice.
Okay, so let's rewind. Early 1980s, GM's Fremont plant. Paint us a picture. What was it like there?
Oh, Fremont back then. Yeah, it was struggling big time. Productivity was really low.
Right.
The cars coming off the line, lots of defects. And the relationship between the workers and management was, well, let's just say it was toxic. Very inefficient, very difficult.
Right. So facing all that, what did GM do? Sounds like a classic case for trying to optimize everything piece by piece.
That's exactly what they did. It fits right into that temptation we mentioned. They really focused hard on the individual components.
Like what specifically?
Well, pushing for more output from each worker, trying to speed up every single stage on the production line.
Faster, faster.
And cutting costs within each separate department. Engineering, manufacturing, quality control. They all had their own targets, their own silos. And interestingly, quality checks only happened right at the very end.
After the car was already built.
Pretty much, yeah.
And what happened? Did all that intense focus on the separate metrics turn Fremont around, make it super efficient?
No, not even close. Actually, even though some of those departments might have, you know, hit their numbers on paper.
Looked good individually.
Right. The overall result was still really negative. The cars still had major quality issues, labor problems, didn't go away. And the whole manufacturing process was still full of massive inefficiencies.
So they were like polishing the leaves while the roots were rotting.
That's a good way to put it. They absolutely missed the big picture.
So the key takeaway from GM's experience there is optimizing the isolated bits didn't just fail to fix the system, it kind of made the breakdown worse.
Precisely. It actively contributed to the system failure. Now, let's jump forward just a bit to 1984. That same Fremont plant, the exact same one, reopens. But this time it's a joint venture. NUMI, New United Motor Manufacturing, Inc., a partnership between GM and Toyota.
Ah, Toyota.
Yeah.
And this is where things change, right? Because Toyota came in with a fundamentally different way of doing things.
Completely different philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their strategies were, well, quite revolutionary at the time, especially compared to GM's approach.
What were some of the key things they did differently?
Well, one of the absolute biggest shifts was empowering the workers. Seriously empowering them.
How so?
On a Toyota line, any single worker, anyone, could stop the entire production line right there, right then, if they saw a defect.
Wow. That's huge. Instead of just pushing for speed above all else.
Exactly. It fundamentally changes the priority to quality, and it gives real agency to the people actually doing the work, not just, you know, treating them like interchangeable parts.
Makes sense. What else?
Well, they also really pushed for collaboration, deep collaboration across different functions.
So breaking down those silos GM had?
Absolutely. Engineering, manufacturing, quality. They weren't just working on their own separate goals anymore. They had to work together, focusing on the whole system, the end-to-end performance, the final quality of the car, not just their little piece of the puzzle, their local KPIs.
And wasn't there something about how they treated the employees, too?
Yes, crucially. Respect for people, that was core. They saw employees as valuable assets, as problem solvers who could contribute ideas, not just bodies on the line.
Okay, so different approach. Worker empowerment, cross-functional teams, respect. What happened when Toyota put this into practice at NUMMI?
The results were, frankly, dramatic. Same plant, mostly the same workers who'd been there under GM.
Right, that's the amazing part.
And yet productivity soared, defect rates plummeted, those labor tensions pretty much vanished. NUMMI actually became one of GM's best performing plants anywhere.
Incredible. So the lesson from NUMMI is that Toyota's success came not from maximizing each little step in isolation.
No.
But from optimizing how the whole system, all the parts, work together towards the final goal.
Exactly that. And this, you know, this brings us right back to talent acquisition. It poses a really critical question for you listening.
Yeah.
When you look at how you hire people, are you doing it the GM Fremont way or more like the Toyota NUMMI? Especially maybe if you're in a high turnover sector, like say BFSI banking, financial services, insurance.
Right, because it's easy to think your hiring process is efficient if you're hitting certain numbers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe recruitment's keeping the cost per hire low, filling jobs fast, onboarding's ticking all the boxes, getting people processed, training's maybe cutting the cost per trainee. Looks good on the surface.
Looks great on the individual reports, perhaps. But just like GM at Fremont, even if those local KPIs are green, the overall system, the talent system, can still be failing badly.
And we see signs of that failure.
We do. There are some really concerning symptoms out there.
What should people be looking out for? What are the red flags, the data points that suggest something's wrong, even if the department metrics look okay?
Okay, well, one huge one is infant attrition. It's at record highs in some places. We're seeing data showing over 80%, 80, of people who quote in their first year leave within the first 6 months.
Wow, 6 months. That's barely getting started. Think of the cost sunk into hiring and onboarding them.
Exactly. Then there's the issue of zero performers. This is alarming. In some sectors, maybe 15% of new hires, 15%, haven't made a single sale after 6 months on the job.
6 months of salary, support, training for zero results.
Right. A huge drain. And maybe the biggest sign is the massive performance gap you often see.
What do you mean?
The bottom 10% of performers might be like 10 times less effective than your top 10%. Think about that spread. This kind of inefficiency plus the churn can eat up something like 30% to 40% of the entire HR budget.
That's staggering. And these aren't just like isolated bad hires.
They can be symptoms of a much bigger systemic problem, a problem rooted in that sub-optimization we saw with GM, each part of HR focusing inwards.
Right, so let's break that down. How does that sub-optimization actually play out in HR departments?
Well, think about recruitment. Often, their main goal, their main metric, is minimizing the cost of making a hire.
Cost per hire, yeah.
But they might not be held accountable, really, for how well that person actually performs down the line or how long they stay.
Mm-hmm.
So they can hit their cost target, look efficient.
Even if they're bringing in people who aren't quite the right fit long-term.
Exactly. Then you look at training. Their focus might be on, say, reducing the cost per trainee or delivering training efficiently budget-wise.
Okay.
But their success isn't always tied directly to whether those trained employees actually hit their performance targets once they're doing the job.
So efficient training delivery, but maybe not effective training outcome.
Precisely. And onboarding, it can easily become just a checklist exercise. Did we get the form signed? Did they get their laptop?
Ticking boxes.
Right. Rather than asking, is this person truly set up, integrated, and ready to perform effectively?
So it's like the GM analogy again. Everyone's hitting their individual targets, faster line speed, lower component cost, but the final product, the actual goal,
which is hiring people who perform well and stay.
That gets missed.
That's the danger. And the cost isn't trivial. That document we mentioned from Quanta People Center of Excellence.
Yeah.
It points out that for frontline roles in BFSI, the actual cost of making a wrong hire, a bad hire, is estimated to be 5 times the initial cost of the hire.
5 times.
Yeah.
That really puts the focus on just minimizing the initial cost into perspective, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The downstream financial hit from a bad fit is huge.
Okay, so if focusing on those isolated metrics is the GM way that leads to problems, what's the Toyota way for talent acquisition? How do we fix this?
The fundamental shift is moving away from those siloed KPIs towards system-wide outcomes, metrics that force collaboration, that create shared accountability across recruitment, onboarding, training, everyone involved.
And what would that ultimate outcome metric look like?
I think the key one, the real measure of success for the whole system, should be something like the percentage of new hires who both stay and perform to a certain standard within, say, their first 6 months.
That makes sense. It connects everything. Mm-hmm. Recruitment needs to find the right potential. Onboarding needs to enable them. Training needs to equip them. All judged by whether they actually succeed and stick around.
Exactly. It forces alignment. So then those individual department KPIs have to change too to support that bigger goal.
How would they need to evolve? Let's take recruitment first.
For recruitment, yeah, you move beyond just cost per hire. You start measuring things like the cost of a right hire, factoring in their performance and how long they stay.
Okay.
And maybe even track the cost of a wrong hire explicitly to really hammer home the financial impact of mismatches. And time to fill. It shouldn't just be about speed. It should be time to fill right hires. Focus on quality, not just filling a seat.
Got it. And what about training? How does their success metric change?
Training needs to be measured by actual performance results, things like time to first sale for a sales role, perhaps, or the percentage of trainees hitting, say, 50% or more of their performance target within their first 3 months on the job. Tangible outcomes.
Not just did they complete the course.
Yeah.
But did the course help them perform?
Exactly. And onboarding, finally, needs to shift focus, too.
Away from the checklists.
Absolutely. Onboarding success should be judged by the new hire's actual readiness to perform. Do they have what they need? Are they integrated? And crucially, are we seeing that reflected in their early performance data?
So it really is about getting all those different parts of HR pulling in the same direction towards that ultimate goal. A new hire who performs well and stays, just like Toyota got all the parts of manufacturing working together for a quality car.
That's the core idea. The HR and talent acquisition world, especially in those high-churn industries, is really at risk of repeating GM's mistake, focusing too much on making each separate step look efficient.
Well, the overall system leaks value through poor hires and people leaving quickly.
Right. It's that classic saying, isn't it? Being penny-wise and pound-foolish.
Definitely. Focusing only on cutting the upfront cost of hiring can lead to much, much bigger costs down the road from underperformance and having to rehire constantly.
Exactly. So just like GM eventually learned from Toyota, optimizing the pieces doesn't guarantee success. We need to embrace that Toyota way in hiring a holistic view, aligning everything towards bringing in people who will truly succeed and stick around for the long term.
This has been, yeah, a really illuminating deep dive. That car industry parallel is surprisingly powerful for thinking about HR, isn't it?
It really is.
It just hammers home how vital it is to look past those easy individual metrics and think about the health of the entire talent system.
Mm-hmm. The story of GM and Toyota at that Fremont plant is just such a clear illustration. True optimization isn't about tweaking the parts in isolation. It's about understanding and improving how they all connect and work together.
So a final thought for you listening.
Yeah.
Take a hard look at your own organization. Are your hiring processes set up mainly to make each step look good on its own, low cost per hire, fast time to fill, high training completion? Or are they genuinely aligned to bring in people who will perform well and stay with you? Think about it. What's one specific area where shifting your focus from just a local departmental KPI to a broader system-wide outcome metric? What hidden problems might that uncover? And what improvements could it drive in who you hire and how long they succeed?